right, welcome in, y'all.
Oh, we started. Oh, we're doing this. Hey, what's going on? Let's do a podcast.
Episode 47. I looked up and was like, oh, there's the open. Oh,
and I was figuring out what we're going to talk about.
This is, I guess, part two, if you will.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for this. If you missed last week's episode, go back and watch.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to make sense. If you just jump into this one.
Yeah.
Probably going to be a little lost, but yeah. You were in Texas 2 weeks ago.
National Tropical Weather Conference.
I always want to say tropical national. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a mouthful. National Tropical Weather Conference.
And this is a deep dive, if you will.
Yeah.
I apologize if we nerd out. This is my first time ever hearing what you're about to say.
Yeah.
Which I also like because, you know me, I'm going to have questions. Yeah. But yeah, if you remember our Understanding the Cone episode, this is where that originated from last year. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy to think that we're a year later.
A whole year later.
And here we are again.
Yeah. Once again, recapping the National Tropical Weather Conference, which is, as I said in the last episode, a fantastic conference.
Mm-hmm.
As far as conferences go, it's a small group, less than 100. It's emergency managers. It's hurricane chasers. It's TV meteorologists. It's Dr. Phil Klotzbach. Mm-hmm. It is members from the National Hurricane Center. It is hurricane hunters, and it is 3 days of nothing but hurricanes
and
margaritas.
Yeah, and good times.
And good times at night.
I will tell you what, if you missed last year, there was a big emphasis on understanding the cone.
Yeah.
Do people understand the cone? And if they don't, how can we improve that?
And that came from Hurricane Ian in 2022. That had big issues with people not understanding the cone, especially around Fort Myers, because they were always kind of on the edge of the cone, and a lot of people didn't evacuate because they didn't think they were going to get impacted. And it caused a lot of big issues and spawned a lot of research and a lot of discussion on, okay, what do we have to do to get people to understand the cone better? Much different feel this year because last year wasn't as big of a hurricane year. We had Idalia, which was kind of the only notable event here in the U.S. So a lot of the focus this year was much more on research and newest developments, a lot of new hurricane technology, and improving forecasts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Without that or without further ado,
I think we just start with Phil.
Phil.
We got to start with Phil.
That's the understanding. And we touched on it a little bit.
Yeah. So Dr. Phil Klotzbach of Colorado State University. Klotzbach of Colorado State University. He uses this conference every year to announce his hurricane season forecast. Been doing it since the 80s. He hasn't. His mentor.
1984.
Yeah, 1984 is when these hurricane outlooks started with Dr. William Gray.
Yep.
William Gray taught Dr. Phil Klotzbach, took him under his wing, and now Dr. Phil has sort of taken on the reins, now a professor at Colorado State, and has continued the tradition.
He is fantastic.
Yeah.
If you don't, follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
Just, he's the only Phil Klotzbach you'll
find. Right, you're not
going to
find another Phil Klotzbach.
Just search Phil Klotzbach.
Kind of a nerdy little guy, as you would expect.
Yeah, and his posts are nerdy, but they're really cool.
They're really cool, and he's actually really easy to talk to.
That's awesome.
He's not super geeky, nerdy, and doesn't know how to socially interact.
Yeah.
Like, you could walk up to him at the conference, hey, Phil, what's going on? What do you think about this? And he'll talk to you. He'll stand and
That's
talk.
That's awesome.
Very easy to talk to. So he announced his forecast, 23 named storms, 11 hurricanes, 5 major.
Which, when that came out, and I said this last episode, a little bit of a, okay.
It was an eye-opener
to
see 23 named storms, because the average season is 12?
Yeah.
12? So we're almost doubling the number of named storms, potentially. You know, we'll see in hindsight how the season pans out. But as we've been saying, everything points to a very busy hurricane season, literally everything.
Yeah, when we say everything, record warm Atlantic ocean temperatures.
Yep.
La Nina, which
favors La Nina.
A active hurricane season.
Yeah.
Last year was completely opposite. We had El Nino, but the warm temperatures. And I said this last time, you heard that in Phil's delivery last year.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, here's the numbers, but I'm going to be very honest. We might need to either trim these back.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we'll play it as we go. There was no uncertainty in his tone when he delivered this.
Yeah. And I interviewed him and actually asked, I said, okay, last year at this very time, we were here and there was a lot of uncertainty. I said, what are you thinking this year? And he bucked up. He was confident. Like, it's gonna be a busy year. And he even said, I may not have gone high enough.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, so we could potentially go into the second list of names if the forecast verifies.
Which, can we also talk about, that is no longer Greek.
No longer Greek.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Because that was a mess.
Because of the 2020 season.
Mm-hmm.
We went so far into the Greek alphabet in 2020, and we also went into the Greek alphabet in 2005, that there was a fear that one of those storms could be intense enough to be retired.
Yep.
Well, you can't really retire a Greek
alphabet
because it's pretty well set. So now we have an alternate list of names that we'll use.
Okay.
So
at the very end, I have a game for us, too.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right. You're not going to make me recite the Greek alphabet, are you?
No, we're going to pick a storm that we'll see impacts from.
All right. So just to sort of underscore Dr. Phil's forecast and how he's not alone. I snapped this picture of his presentation. His forecast is for this hurricane season, 23 named storms.
Mm-hmm.
There are other models and other agencies that issue forecast. The Canadian Meteorological Society coming in with 25.6 named storms. The JMA, which is like a Japan meteorological, they have actually really decent service, 22.4 named storms. UK Met, basically Europe's office, 23.2. So Phil is pretty well in line with that.
Yeah.
You hear a lot about the name storms. There's a lot of other things that he predicts that you don't really hear much about, such as named storm days, which is the number of days out of the hurricane season that you will be tracking a storm. 115
was Phil's. How long is hurricane season?
I know, right? I was just doing the math in my head. I'm like, okay, well, 90 days, that's 3 months. So basically 3.5 months of tracking something.
Yeah.
115 days is his forecast for something to be out in the Atlantic that is a trackable named feature.
Mm.
The CMC forecast is 135 named storm days. This is where it gets a little scarier. Hurricane days, the days that you have hurricanes in the Atlantic Ocean. Dr. Phil, going 45 days.
Mm.
45 days out of the hurricane season, you will potentially have a hurricane. Somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean.
High.
That's a big chunk of the season. That's a month and a half of the season.
I wonder what the average is. 20-something, 30-something maybe?
Yeah, the averages aren't on here.
Oh, my goodness. 45 days.
Yeah. Yeah. Major hurricane days. The days where you have a Category 3 hurricane or higher out over the Atlantic, 13.
Okay. That one's a little bit more reasonable.
A little bit more reasonable, but still pretty high.
Well, because you think, too, when you have a hurricane, major is either typically near landfall or it's out there in the Atlantic doing its thing for a day or two. So
yeah.
13. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, here's the averages, by the way. Okay. Named storm days, the average is 69. He's forecasting 115. Hurricane days, the average is 27.
Okay, I thought it was 20.
He's forecasting 45. Major hurricane days is 7. He's forecasting 13.
Double.
Yeah. So basically everything is doubled. Even almost basically even the number
the
of
numbers.
Named storms is doubled an average season.
Mm.
Yeah. And then he went into more about where potentially the storms will go.
Mm-hmm.
Last year there were a lot of recurves, which we liked.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of stayed out harmlessly out in the Atlantic Ocean. The Caribbean last hurricane season was shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Gulf of Mexico shut down. Transitioning now back into La Nina and incredibly warm waters, the Caribbean and the Gulf likely to be a lot more busy this year.
And when we had El Nino, I think we talked about it, you have that active jet that basically...
It'll kill anything
in the Caribbean. It kills everything.
Especially the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. The Caribbean is important because once you get something through the islands and in the Caribbean, it's hitting something to get out.
Yeah.
If it continues west, Central America... The Caribbean islands, if it turns north, it's either going into the Gulf, it's going to Florida, it's potentially even an East Coast threat.
Yeah.
Like Matthew was. Mm-hmm. You know, Matthew originated near the Caribbean. So the Caribbean potentially much more of a hot spot this year
okay.
compared to last year, where I don't think there was anything in the Caribbean last year.
I don't remember. It was just, it was everything
dry.
Was more.
Yeah, it was dry and quiet.
Yeah.
So that's big.
Yeah.
That's big. Because like I said, you get something in there. It's, I always say it's a bull in a china shop. You're going to hit something before it gets out of there.
Yeah. And also, too, I was trying to think, you know, in the early season development, we'll have a lot of Caribbean origination. Mm-hmm. I don't remember anything.
Mm-mm. No.
I think it started off fairly quiet.
Yeah.
And then we started to get going with waves off the African coast. Yeah. But by that point, most of those turned because high pressure, the jet was pushing everything.
And the Caribbean's weird anyway. You can tend to get a little early season development, but the Caribbean can really come to life in October.
Mm-hmm, especially when it's heated up.
Yeah. Late season, October, even into November, you can get some big, nasty storms to get going in the Caribbean.
Okay.
So I thought that was interesting.
Caribbean development.
Keep going while I look.
Okay. Literally, this is all scrolling through pictures that he's taken.
Yeah, these are, yeah. So we'll continue with Dr. Phil here. And you may remember the local numbers because I was kind of busy. 2024 probabilities for at least one major hurricane landfall. Entire U.S. coastline, 62%. Average is 43%. U.S. East Coast, including the Florida Peninsula, his forecast is 34%. Average is 21%. So that's his odds of
that
a major hurricane, Category 3 or higher, hitting the East Coast.
Horry County, for instance, was at 7%. Georgetown was at 7%.
That's the forecast?
And then Carolina was 14%. I don't remember the average, but I think it was half.
So a 14% chance of a major. What about regular hurricanes?
44% for South Carolina.
That's on up there.
Yeah. Normally that's in the 30s.
Yeah.
Like 32.
That's on up there.
Mm-hmm.
That is on up there.
I mean, that's almost half.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have
so that's
half a chance. And I wonder, too, if it's based off the map of where everything's developing, we're going to see more East Coast tracks.
There is a trend. And a lot of the models, I know a lot of people love to talk models and love to talk the European. The European model, long range wise, can run all the way through hurricane season now. And it doesn't show individual storms, but you can see sort of precip trends, rainfall trends in the model. And from basically the Central Atlantic through the Northern Caribbean, the Bahamas, Florida, into the Carolinas, there's a big swath of above normal precipitation in June, July, August, September. Mm. There's one thing that's causing a lot of rain in the Atlantic in June, July, August, and September, and that's tropical systems. And it's almost a fan sort of facing the East Coast.
And
of
we
US.
Can all kind of imagine what that would look like based off previous tracks.
Yeah.
Which I also thought was interesting, and I would have loved to dive into the numbers more when it came out, but you know how that day is. It's crazy. On named storm impact for South Carolina, it was 76%. Just seeing any impacts from a tropical storm, tropical depression if it's named. But then you go into just the county, it's 54%. So, once again, I think kind of showing a favor of, you know, maybe even clipping by.
But
50% chance at least.
And as we have learned through so many hurricanes since 2016, you can get really big impacts without a direct landfall here.
Yeah, 100%.
Big.
Mm-hmm.
Big.
It doesn't take much.
Big impacts. So.
Watch and wait.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go out to the Rockies for the rest of the hurricane season. Let me know how it goes. I'm getting too old for this.
I went golfing a couple of weeks ago, and someone was like, "Are y'all ready for hurricane season?" I said, "Ask me after a couple vacations."
I'm planning one more getaway. I always do a vacation like late June, July.
I think that's good.
Before the heart of it.
Yeah.
Because I know that August, when's September, October, I don't schedule anything.
I look forward to the 5 a.m. updates because I know it's active and getting it out and pushing it because people love that. But this year's going to be a lot of work. So hopefully quiet. We'll see.
Yeah, for us. We'll see. Busy season doesn't mean multiple hits for us.
Dr. Phil gave his presentation on Thursday. Who else talked?
A lot of people. Let's talk about the cone. Talk about the cone. Jamie Rome, Deputy Director of the National Hurricane Center. Changes coming to the cone this year.
Okay.
And this is something I think that maybe I think on our level, I think we're doing okay with. But on sort of a more national level, these changes of the cone may be a little bit more important. Instead of just showing the cone, which has been done in the past, the National Hurricane Center is going to be showing the cone with all of the watches and warnings and advisories associated with the cone.
Okay.
And the whole point of that is to drive home the fact that you don't have to be in the cone to get major impacts. Especially when it comes to surge, especially when it comes to flooding, rainfall. You can be outside the cone, depending on the track of a system and your location on the coast, and still get hurricane conditions. Remember, the cone is just the center point of the eye. One tiny little point, the center of that storm. Where is it going to go? The cone has nothing to do with who sees impacts. So you can never be in the cone and get storm surge, flooding, hurricane force winds, all of it. So you will see when you go, if you were to go to the National Hurricane Center website, which do it. I don't care where you're getting hurricane information as long as you're getting it.
Yeah.
You'll see the cone, but you will see all of the warnings and watches associated with it because many times those are well outside the cone, especially storm surge.
Yeah.
And especially flooding rain.
And that, I think that will help.
Yeah.
Especially if it's done around everywhere. For us here locally, and I'm glad you brought that up, we don't really need to change anything because we already kind of show that.
Right, because we're if we're in a cone of a system.
And we're already in a watch or warning.
We're breaking down everything
correct.
That you need to know
in
crazy amounts of detail.
Do they touch anything on day? They're going longer on the cone too, right?
That doesn't start yet. That doesn't start this season.
See, this is
why a little further down the road.
Oh, I thought that was coming. Okay.
Dovetailing into that is storm surge.
Okay.
Because, and we struggle with this every time we have a storm, forecasting storm surge and communicating the storm surge risk are insanely difficult.
People still don't understand the numbers who've been through hurricanes here.
They don't. And they don't understand what storm surge is.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know what storm surge is. A lot of people think it's this giant wall of water that roars in like a tidal wave. It's not. It comes in fast. And around here, it comes in through the swamps and the marshes and the creeks.
Comes in both directions.
And you go up to Cherry Grove, anytime there's a king tide or a storm, and the storm surge is bubbling up through the manholes. Like it's coming in all different places. So getting people to understand how storm surge works and how to prepare people for that is a big focus. Especially when it comes to extreme storm surge events, like happened in Florida for Fort Myers, where it was just a massive surge. Like you can get on the Gulf Coast, like we can get here. We can get double digit storm surge here. It's been a while since we've had one that high. We've had some big surge events, but how are we going to communicate if we have a 3 or 4 rolling in and that forecast comes out for a, God forbid, let's say a 10 to 14 foot storm surge? How do we communicate that? What does that mean? What does that look like?
I don't know.
What does that look like?
I'm just thinking of the tools in our toolbox right now.
Yeah.
We need some new tools.
Yeah.
Because we have, and I think this is, just thinking about that, we have the map, and you've probably seen it if you've been here with us, that shows the storm surge in feet.
Which basically on the maps that we show in the event that we have one is the amount of water on the ground at that location.
Yeah.
During the storm surge.
But that map doesn't spread out, though. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, and there's a lot of intricacies that can't even be captured in those maps.
Correct.
Especially with swashes and creeks and canals and marshes like Merle's Inlet, like Cherry Grove. Yeah.
And it's one of those things, God forbid, too, and previous storms help us.
They do. Thank God for the previous storms because...
We can then say, hey, Isaias. Or,
I will be the first to admit... You know, I've been here over 16 years now, and Matthew was the first big surge event that we had. I thank God for Matthew now.
Yeah.
Because ever since Matthew, I know what, okay, this water level is, what this water level is. Ian was the same thing with every one you learn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what at 7 feet, water's going to get into Family Kingdom.
Correct.
Water's going to shut down Cherry Grove.
Yep.
You know what's coming, roughly.
Yeah.
But
for 12 to 14, I mean, evacuate. I mean, that's.
I don't know.
Because,
I mean, that's going to happen to us. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. We're going to get another Hazel. We're going to get another Hugo. And you think about so many. The scary thing is so many new people here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who've never. I mean, you just think about the population we're adding every single year.
Yeah.
You know, one of the ways I've thought about. We're getting a little off topic here, but that's all right. It's what we do on the podcast. One of the things I've often thought about doing is let's go to some landmarks around town. Let's pick Cherry Grove, a storm surge prone place. Let's go to Bolanos. Everybody knows Bolanos. I think that's their logo,
mm-hmm.
their slogan. Let's go to Bolanos and Cherry Grove. Let's take a picture of it on a clear, quiet day.
I see where you're going with this.
Let's take that picture. And let's add in a 4-foot storm surge. Let's show what the water looks like there. 6, 8, 10, 12. And let's do that with certain landmarks all across the Grand Strand so that people can visualize what it's going to look like.
That's good.
Is that something we start working on?
Yeah, I like it.
And like I said, we do it for numerous
landmarks
that people know, that people really know. We could do Family Kingdom. We could do, you know, I don't know, all of them.
Yeah. And I think that serves as a good, because we get those storm surge forecasts 2-3 days in advance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a good indicator to tell people, like, hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I feel like if we went on the air and showed Bolanos with 9 feet of water around it.
Yeah.
People are going to be like, holy. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. Let's roll.
Which goes really well into the evacuation zones.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
I'm even thinking, like, you show that and then you zoom out from Bolanos with the evacuation zones. Mm-hmm. And be like, all right, now consider.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
We've got big projects ahead. I think we should do that.
I like that better than.
Y'all let us know what you think. If you think that would help you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it will for sure. But you're still going to have people, you know, streets away say, okay, well, if it's there, what's it there? Right. And I'm like, listen, I don't know. I could just tell you what we have here.
Right.
So I don't know how far, you know.
Right. And if
10
there's
to 11
and you
feet,
know what? If you live on one of the streets in Cherry Grove and there's 6 feet of water around Bolanos,
mm-hmm.
your house may be okay, but you ain't going anywhere.
No, you're just stuck
if something
there.
Happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah. So storm surge,
okay.
Communicating storm surge. That was one of the big takeaways.
Okay.
Okay. And then a lot of new technology happening. Did you know the Hurricane Center is now flying drones?
I love how you're delivering this.
Flying drones in hurricanes. Big drones.
How does that work?
Big drones. You want to know how it works? So the hurricane hunters go in. They started this in 22 with Ian. They're flying in with Hurricane Hunter. And they drop a drone out the back of the plane.
Into the eye?
And into the eye wall or into the storm. And the great thing about the drones is they can get way down low. They can get at much lower levels. Hurricane hunters are tending to fly
correct.
Pretty high in the hurricane for safety reasons. These drones can get way down. So they did it during Ian, collecting just insane amounts of data. So the hurricane hunters are flying their pattern in the upper levels of the hurricane. And there's a person in the hurricane hunter who's controlling the drone that's flying through the hurricane in low levels, collecting insanely valuable data. There is a plan now to potentially start dropping numerous drones into hurricanes to get, because basically it comes down to this, the more data, the better the forecast.
100%.
And when a hurricane's sitting out there in the middle of the Atlantic, it's hard to know exactly what's going on inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we do these hurricane hunter flights. But if we can get more data into the models equals better forecast coming out.
Yeah. Better
that's
cones,
insane.
Better tracks.
That's insane. And you know, we're now doing the sail drones, which are basically drone ships that we can sail into hurricanes now. So we're gradually getting to a point where we're sampling every level of a hurricane.
Well, and the cell drones, too, were a big thing with storm surge. Those were the things that started to be able to tell you, hey, here's how much, because they've sampled the water basically for most of the Atlantic to know what a normal ocean height is. Yeah. So then when they go in, they already know, hey, the water's already elevated this much. So to see, I didn't think a drone could go in a hurricane.
Yeah.
The more I think
about it. And actually they do really well because they're lightweight. They can handle the turbulence.
That's
even a
crazy.
Bit better than some of the planes can, which is wild. Let's talk about the breathing hurricanes. It was called the Great Exhale.
From your tees.
This is insane. So as a forecaster, you know, after looking at many hurricanes, that we call it the diurnal maximum, to get really geeky on you, the diurnal maximum. And that is typically sometime between roughly midnight and sunrise.
It's my favorite part of a hurricane.
Tropical storms or hurricanes typically have a burst of development, a burst of strong activity. It's why a lot of times, you know, you wake up in a storm, you go to bed and the storm's kind of weak. You wake up in the morning and we're talking about how rapidly it's intensified. So that's a well-known process, the diurnal maximum. And then you typically tend to see that diurnal maximum wind down, and a system will look a little more ragged during the late afternoon. And it's a very noticeable process. Well, now with more data, one of the research papers that was presented at the conference titled The Great Exhale was that ties into the overall sort of structure of the storm. You can see these intense thunderstorms blowing up before sunrise, and then they sort of collapse and weaken a bit. But the processes that cause that, especially in the upper levels of the hurricane, are continuing all through the day. That energy that is released during those early morning bursts of convection start spreading out through the day. And it's literally the hurricane exhaling. The presentation went through so many tropical storms, so many hurricanes, that the researcher who did it made a clock of the intensity of the thunderstorms through the first part of the night, the minimum, and how far out those high clouds and that energy spread.
That's nuts. Literally
came up with a clock. And after his presentation, he would show satellite images of a storm, and we were all to tell him what time it was. You could literally predict the time of day based on the satellite presentation of the hurricane. What? and everybody got it, like within an hour. Within an hour or two, you can predict the time based on that.
That's nuts.
And when you look at graphs of cloud top temperatures, the colder the cloud top, the more intense the thunderstorms. If you were to plot out a hurricane's cloud top temperature, you know what it looks like? An EKG.
From the different bands that are spreading out.
Yeah. And so now there's a lot of research going into these great exhales. That it's a process that likely, and this is happening very, very high in the atmosphere. It's a process that likely helps the hurricane to mature. It's a process that typically helps these hurricanes to grow and to expand and grow in size, because you're sort of repeating this process all throughout the cycle, and it gradually is getting bigger, getting healthier, getting better with each exhale. Until it runs into something that can typically sort of mess it up.
And you can see that like on satellite, but I've never thought of it in a daily cycle on the time.
Can literally tell the time. Amazing.
I'm just trying to look back and think.
Yeah, and now that I know it that well, it's something I'll definitely be looking at.
Yeah, because, there's been so many mornings in past years where I would text you and be like, oh,
yeah,
here we go.
Yeah.
It's healthy.
Yeah, it's healthy.
And
yeah.
then by, I don't know, what is it, midday, where you really midday. Have a well-defined,
yeah.
mm-hmm. then the afternoon starts it's to collapse, but yep. it's still big in size?
Yep.
Dang.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
It gets really complicated about gravity waves in the atmosphere yeah. propagating out and weird things like that, but a lot of deep, deep science behind it. But that was just fascinating. Absolutely
who
fascinating.
Who gave that presentation? The Great Exhale.
The Great Exhale. Oh, gosh, I forgot.
Also, I would like to apologize for those who do not enjoy yeah, deep conversation.
I know, right? There was also a really cool presentation on AI and hurricane forecasting, which was kind of
really?
Scary. Which was kind of scary. That's weird. So yeah, that was definitely something to get into.
There's a lot of great exhale presentations, and I don't think these have to do with.
Yeah, we're not talking about Whitney Houston and waiting to exhale. Okay, I'll find the numbers, okay. the actual paper, and we can attach the link. But yeah, yeah. The other most fascinating presentation there was from a guy you probably know if you're in the TV business. You know Greg Setzer,
mm-hmm.
Who now works for Royal Caribbean.
What a job!
And it's basically, you think about Royal Caribbean, and it's this massive corporation of cruise ships, and he's their forecaster.
And what's a day in the life of that like, I wonder?
His main goal is to, like, he's not forecasting the weather on a ship on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
He is looking at, okay, this is, all right, these three ships, you're going to need to avoid this area. These
no
couple
ships,
zones. You're going to have to avoid this area. But he also has to be really smart in marine science. In marine forecasting.
Yeah.
Because things are a whole lot different out there over the ocean.
Yeah.
During the conference, one of the evenings we were just sort of having our evening cocktails, the whole group, he had to run out real quick. There was a big earthquake in Japan mm-hmm. and tsunami, and Royal Caribbean had ships there. And so he was coordinating with the Port Authority of Japan on getting the cruise ships out of port, because in a tsunami, it's much safer for a ship to be out in the ocean, in the middle of the ocean, than it is to be in port where it can get banged around if there's a tsunami. So he's literally on his phone coordinating cruise ships to get back out into the Sea of Japan in case there's a tsunami. And he's just doing that while he's having a margarita. Like, what? Like, dude, I would be freaking out.
I would be freaking out. Stink at that job.
Yeah.
There's some jobs you know you're not qualified for. There's one for me.
Yeah. And then it's just so much stuff about like the physics of how a boat rocks and whether it rocks this way or this way. Did you know? I know that we have a lot of cruisers around here. These big ships, especially the really big ones like Royal Caribbean is known for, like really big ships, their new ship is just insanely big, have rudders that come out the side of the ship.
To balance?
To balance if they're going through rough seas. And that keeps the ship from doing this as much. You're still going to get some rocking,
yeah.
but if by some chance they get into really huge seas, those things come out and help to balance and stabilize the ship.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
I mean, and you wouldn't see it either. You would never know.
Yeah, you would never. Yeah, you never know that's happening.
I mean, it makes
so
sense,
many
though.
So many other things. Do some math real quick. I'm uh-oh. Terrible at conversion. What is how many feet is 7 meters? It's a lot.
Twenty-two feet. 11 inches.
So 22 feet. Let's say 23 feet.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the threshold for cruise ships for when it gets dangerous. Yeah, that's the threshold. 15-foot seas, most cruise ships. Yeah, you're going to rock a little bit, but it's that 7 meter, 22-24 feet, where they're trying to avoid.
Mm.
They're trying to avoid those 7 meter seas. That's kind of their thing.
And is he doing a lot of wave height forecasting?
Lots
I'm assuming?
Oh of wave height gosh. Forecasting and lots of wind load forecasting.
Okay, that would make sense.
There was a system he had. He was telling a story during his presentation. There was a Royal Caribbean ship back in the fall that had been in the Gulf, had come around Key West, and was making its way back to port in Miami. And you may remember this. There was a big flood event in Fort Lauderdale in Miami. I think it was back in November. It was like this hybrid tropical system that like developed. And it developed very quickly without a lot of warning in hurricane force winds. Well, they had a cruise ship in there. And the ship, about 50 miles east of Miami, was measuring a northeast wind at 100 knots at the top of the ship. Mm. That much force on a ship is causing it to lean. So he was sort of coordinating with the captain of the cruise ship on, okay, now you need to do this. And basically they, were focusing on turning the ship into the wind. But imagine a ship, once they turned into the wind, they could upright. But the wind energy was still so strong that as they were traveling north, the ship was still getting pushed towards the coast. And just all these amazing things that you have to deal with while you're a captain on a cruise. You're taking a cruise and there's so much happening behind the scenes.
I thought aviation forecasting was tough.
Yeah. And he gave us some inside baseball too, and it was really cool stuff. Like about they have a whole team at Royal Caribbean that does nothing but watch social media. And if a ship goes bump or hits a rough night in the ocean, and people start tweeting about it or Facebook posting about it, they know, and they're instantly trying to do damage control, which is their business. I get it. Yeah. They're trying to take care of things. Crazy.
Could you imagine if your goal is just to watch social media for complaints?
Yeah, that's your whole job. Yeah. Complaints. Huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we could do an Are You Serious from Royal Caribbean.
That's what I was thinking. Hey, Craig says, we'll come down and interview you on the Sovereign of the Seas, if you don't mind.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So that was really a fascinating presentation.
Huh.
Yeah. Because you don't think about it really that much. You're out there, the weather's crazy, and, we've all been on cruises, and it's a little rocky here and there, but some of the stories he told about some of the big stuff that they've had happen was amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And, of course, your boy Josh.
We won't
talk too much because I know he's coming on.
Yeah, we have confirmed Josh, not a date, but we have confirmed that he will be here probably sometime in May.
Okay. Like be here or be on?
Be on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was supposed to say be here.
I know.
Oh,
if he was going to be here, yeah.
We have a 30-minute Josh Morgerman special. Right.
Yeah.
Just our hurricane special.
Yeah,
so
Josh Morgerman, Eye Cyclone, 70 hurricanes that he's been in. That's eyes. 70 eyes of hurricanes that he's been in. Most of any person in the world. I want his job.
And we got a thing with an active season.
He's probably going to add to that number quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. Nice. And I just can't wait to have him on because he's just super friendly and nice.
Yeah.
And fun to talk to, but his stories will just blow your mind.
I'm assuming that will break the...
I hope so.
Duration.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And maybe the most
Maybe
watched.
The numbers, yeah. Yeah, because I've certainly hyped him up enough.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I don't even think I said this last week. Have you seen our numbers?
You texted me our numbers. They're pretty incredible. That's good.
Yeah. So approaching 17,000
views. I used those numbers to convince Josh to come on the podcast. I said, Josh, I don't know if you know this or not, but we are the number one weather-related podcast in the Carolinas. We're also the only weather podcast in the Carolinas, but I know you're a busy guy. I don't want you to think you're wasting your time.
Yeah. 20,000 watches and listens.
Yeah.
Plus.
We could probably get that in one day with Josh.
Could you imagine?
I would die.
Me too.
I would die. We would split it up into three parts. Three-part special.
We would have to give our profits to Josh.
Yeah.
Be like, thank you. Yeah. Here's this.
Yeah, I did talk to Josh about the housewarming party.
I was about to bring
throwing,
that up.
That he's throwing. Guest list includes, Reed Timmer.
Mm. Just drop that on there.
Just drop that. My buddy Reed.
I don't know if I've heard of him.
Director of the National Hurricane Center.
Okay. So this is actually some new guests.
Former directors of the National Hurricane Center. Yeah. Big stuff. And then me. And me.
Are you going to be allowed to take photos?
I'm going to.
Okay, good. I'm thinking we...
A million photos.
That'll be a whole episode.
Oh, at least. Oh, yeah.
How nervous were you going to the house?
Right.
Like, the whole shebang.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Hurricane season is approaching. We got a busy couple weeks coming our way.
We do.
So, what are we doing? PGA Championship's in a couple weeks.
Wow, that's coming fast.
CCMF is quickly
approaching.
CCMF? AMS is quickly approaching.
Me going to hang out someplace with my best friend Josh.
Yeah, that's approaching.
We're basically besties now, and it's
when
fine.
When is that?
June 1st, the kickoff of hurricane season. Of course. When else would it be?
That's right.
So, yeah, I'm going to make a whole weekend of it. Okay. Bay St. Louis, Mississippi.
Okay.
Yeah. Fun fact, his house in Bay St. Louis.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's rated for a Category 5. I talked to him about the whole process of building his house. Mm-hmm. That house ain't going anywhere. If you were to overlay the tracks of two of the most intense hurricane landfalls in the U.S. and most damaging hurricanes, Camille, 1969, and Hurricane Katrina, 2005, they sort of cross.
Stop.
The paths of those cross in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, and his house is right underneath both of them. Right underneath that X. That's
awesome.
That's Hurricane. That's Josh Morgerman, Ice Cyclone's house.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Shooting the Breeze Let's episode.
Do we got time for it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
I think we got a little bit of time.
Yeah. Mark and Margaret. Let's see if they stump us this time. Oh, this is nice and easy. Summer is coming. What are some of your favorite things to do here in the summer? Stay inside. Like August.
Go to the pool.
I can't do a pool.
Really?
Not around here.
Why?
No. Not around here because there's not enough of a breeze. Take me to the beach. If I'm going to be hanging outside in the summer, I'll be at the beach.
Yeah. I mean, I love the beach too, but sometimes the beach is too many people.
I get much hotter at a pool. I don't like to hang out at a pool.
Hmm. Well, that's what the water's for.
Storm Chase?
Storm Chase is great.
In the summer.
Fantastic. Especially if you're on Highway 31. Get off.
My favorite little.
Yeah.
I'm so happy I live right there. I can pop on 22 and 31. I can get anywhere along the Seabreeze.
And check that's out all you need.
Yeah. Yeah. Seabreeze, watch some lightning.
It's not like I'm going to go chase it all the way up into Anner,
yeah,
you know?
A good late evening storm in the summer and lightning. Oh, man. That's just, there's nothing better.
What else?
Nothing better.
Happy hour.
Happy hours in the summer.
Indoors.
Are fun. Indoors, of course. Of course. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Got anything else?
And other than that, stay inside.
Literally.
To me, summer ends. My summer ends July 5th.
Avoid tourists.
Yeah, that's impossible.
You can just stay out of, well, for you it is, but
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't come into town.
Yeah, they're not really heading over to Forestburg much.
And I'll go like into Conway to eat or something. You know, they're going into downtown Conway.
Yeah. Yeah, coming through Restaurant Row.
Yeah.
On a summer evening.
I do enjoy eating earlier too during the summer, like going at like 4. Well, happy hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't eat a lot in the summer. I mean, I do. Look at me. But I eat a lot every season, every day.
Yeah.
But I tend to eat less in the summer just because it's too hot to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that.
You know?
Other than that.
Good summer evening, grilled chicken.
Oh,
and a salad. And a salad.
Grilling.
For dinner. Like, that's a good summer dinner. And, of course, a Cosmo.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I haven't had a Cosmo in a bit.
I had a lot of Cosmos on my trip. A lot more margaritas than I've ever had in my life, too.
Were they good?
They were good. Tequila doesn't like me. That's another podcast.
Same.
I don't do good with tequila.
We can name that one.
It makes for a different Jamie.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's a country song about that. Joe Nichols. Tequila makes her clothes come off or something like that.
Whiskey. Rain makes corn. Corn makes whiskey. Whiskey makes your clothes fall off.
Whiskey makes my baby feel a little frisky. That's Luke Bryan. Clip that and put it. Hey, they're talking hurricanes today. Join them. That's the one right there.
Tropical storms and tequila. There's their title.
Oh, guess who it is?
Oh, Mark.
What causes thunder snow?
So this came from our severe weather episode.
Have you ever experienced thunder snow?
I have.
I have too.
I have.
It was not loud. Mine was in Bowling Green.
I've experienced it twice. First time was 1993 in the storm of the century.
Okay.
I was just a wee thing.
I don't remember what my date was.
I was in high school, and I was with my grandparents. It was the famous storm of the century. And I was out walking in the snow because it was snowing harder than I ever remember. This was north of Charlotte. And seeing a flash, hearing the thunder, And it took a moment to register what was happening.
Same
what,
for me.
What, was that? What was that? Oh, that was thundersnow.
Yeah, same.
And then the other time was in my previous station, 4 hours up the road on Highway 17 at WITN in Greenville, North Carolina. I think I've talked about one of my biggest busts ever. I forecast snow flurries. Mm. And we got 8 inches.
Nice.
With thundersnow and 2 foot snow drifts. Yeah. So.
Mine was an ice storm. Ice tour south. We were in the heavy snow band to the north.
Wow. It's something to see.
And I did not. I thought it was like a transformer
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, because it's so out of our sort of realm of normalcy.
Yeah.
That when it's snowing and you hear thunder or you see a lightning flash, you're like, was that really?
Yeah,
like, there's some doubt to it.
The cold air and the snow is like more dense too, so it's not your typical like,
boom. Yeah.
It's very like.
It's a muted.
Yeah.
Think about how quiet it gets when it snows.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing.
Wait, what?
Was that? Yeah, and it's just a low kind of rumble.
Yeah.
So in that severe weather episode, we were talking about ingredients needed for severe weather and ingredients needed for thunderstorms. Throw all of that out the window for thundersnow. To get thundersnow, it has nothing to do with what's going on at the surface.
Mm-hmm.
It's all upper level.
Yep.
And basically, just to keep it really simple, Mark, you have an insane amount of energy in the upper levels of the atmosphere in a winter storm. It can be a couple of different factors, divergence, as we call it, where air is sort of flowing apart.
Mm-hmm.
Air is splitting like this, and when that happens, air rises to fill the gap. And as that air is rising, you can occasionally get thundersnow processes in that.
Yeah.
You got to have an intense... Things are cranking in the upper atmosphere if you're getting thundersnow.
Yeah, I was about to say that, and you're also getting some serious snow rates. Like, it's a big storm.
Yeah, yeah, you're getting insane snowfall rates if you're getting thundersnow, and you just have a lot of what we call dynamics in the atmosphere. Yeah. There's a lot happening in the upper atmosphere. Has nothing to do with what's going on at the surface, like a lot of normal thunderstorms do.
It's the same process as a thunderstorm, but just in the winter, but...
But driven...
Yep.
Not by what's down here. No Correct. Fuel. There's obviously no storm fuel.
Yeah.
There is a certain amount of wind shear, but it's the dynamics, the real impressive energy in the upper atmosphere that can crank out thundersnow.
I think you answered that well.
Pretty good. Pretty easy for a Mark question.
I'll do one more.
Yeah.
And then we will wrap this up. Trying to keep them shorter for you all.
Well, maybe we can do two more because there's literally one left.
Oh.
Do you know what question this is?
Is it Kevin still?
It is.
Okay.
Oh, Kevin, we're going to come back to a defamation ban. Kevin's in what, PA?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Kevin, we're going to get to this. It may be once we do the winter forecasting episode, but we will eventually get to defamation ban.
Mm.
Because I'm going to have to brush
up.
Do
you ever remember a defamation ban anywhere?
Oh, like, we've had a couple around here in my time here. Maybe two.
We had Maybe a lot two. In Kentucky.
Up there, you get a lot.
A lot.
I remember quite a few in Charlotte.
Oh, man. They're so much fun.
Much more rare down here,
mm-hmm.
Especially in winter-type systems.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, we're going to get to your defamation ban.
It may just be the only question in here, but...
A twofer from Mark. But this one's pretty easy. Will you all be changing anything you do for the upcoming hurricane season? Any new graphics or ways to explain things? See... the beginning of this episode.
Yeah.
And we always tend to freshen things up.
Yeah, I like
to kind of make things fresher, and we're always looking for ways to make things a little cleaner,
mm-hmm.
a little easier, a little simpler.
The new look of the even the names, I think, was more simple for
us. Yeah, we're just trying to make it easier. And as we get into if we get into a storm that's threatening us, we're always improving those graphics.
Mm-hmm. I would like to give you more through what we say and less on the screen. Because I think sometimes if we give you, and that would be my big goal for this year, if we give you everything on the screen, even I've realized this, I tend to look and read and I don't catch what's being said.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge for hurricanes, severe weather. So
yeah. And continuing, I think, the trend of focusing more on impacts.
Yep.
Especially once you start getting about 3 days out. Let's just assume we have a storm coming our way. You know, anything before 3 days is still really uncertain.
Yeah.
But really honing in much more on impacts than exact track.
Yeah.
Especially if we have potentially a storm paralleling the coast, which is kind of the worst for us because one wobble west and you have a system on shore, like we saw with Hurricane Matthew, wobble east, it's far enough out that we're not getting much.
Yeah.
But still, focusing on the impacts.
Yeah,
that's good. And even if we have to explain the uncertainty, the range of possibilities, which is something I think we've kind of started to do. Uh-huh. But, you know, if we have a storm paralleling the coast and there's still some wiggle room, all right, if it rides up the coast, we see this.
Yeah.
If it rides off the coast, we see this. And sort of explaining that.
Yeah, I've even done that in severe weather now.
Yeah, yeah.
Best case scenario, we don't have anything this afternoon. Yeah. Worst case scenario, here's what radar looks like.
Yeah.
So yeah. I definitely think that helps because, let's be real, we don't know how everything's going to look Mm-mm. in 12 hours.
Mm-mm.
We have an idea, but we just don't know. Mm-mm. Hey, here's what we're thinking. Here's what it could be. So.
And I always use the classic case of Matthew. 12 hours before landfall of Matthew, it was not forecast to make landfall.
Mm, yeah, it's good.
In South Carolina. Matthew was not forecast to make landfall in South Carolina. 12 hours out.
Yeah, that's a really good reminder.
Yeah, but it one wobble, and hurricanes tend to move in a wobble.
Yeah.
It wobbled on shore. Bam.
Oh. That's a great way to end it right
there. Yeah, that was pretty good, right?
I don't know what's next. We'll figure it out. Yeah, I feel like we always say this.
Yeah. We'll come up with something.
Yeah, it'll be at the end of the month.
We got one question left, and that's the defamation ban, which we're putting back in there. So fill up the box, y'all.
Questions are welcome. Like, share, subscribe.
Yeah. About this episode,
yeah.
The previous episode, anything you want to see in the future episodes.
We're coming up on 52, which I love.
We got to start working on what we're doing for the weather conference here in town.
Yeah.
Would really love to be live or be some guests or do it from there. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
Yeah, figure that out.
I'm sure we can make something work. All right, y'all.
Appreciate it.
Have a fantastic weekend. Thanks for tuning in. Share this episode.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would benefit from this.
Yeah. Especially the newcomers.
Yes.
Newcomers.
Yeah.
Kind of getting, it's like, here we go again.
Yeah.
The older we get, hurricane season just keeps, it's like, didn't we just finish that?
Mm. I got to thinking maybe we'll have a little bit more tequila this hurricane season and less tropical storms.
I'll stick to my Cosmos. I'm just going to put it that way.
It's good.
Yeah.
All right, my friends.
All right. Appreciate it. See y'all.
See y'all.